Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Snow Fantasy Baseball Show. What players can you buy low right now in fantasy baseball? We'll talk about the latest Major League Baseball news, standings, the council curse, and the ever so popular weekly waiver wire additions and drops. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Snow Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball.
Welcome into an all-new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show presented by Belly Up Fantasy Sports, Righteous Felon Jerky, and Seat Geek. Happy Cinco de Mayo if you've celebrated wherever you are. I'm your host, Vince Stover. I am joined now by the senior fantasy writer from BellyUpFantasySports.com. And fresh off of a couple burritos, I'm sure, the one and only Kevin Wilson. Hey, Kev, how you doing, man?
We're doing great here, and it was a great day for Cinco de Mayo around here. Not so great last night, however, as we got deluged pretty hard. So we are dry, so we're happy, and we've had some great baseball this weekend. So we are doing well, and glad to be here as always.
Well, it's good to have you back as always also, and we got plenty to talk about today. So let's dive right in to the first segment of our show called The Fantasy Burner. Our Fantasy Burner segment is presented by SeatGeek, your one-stop shop for tickets, whether you're going to the baseball park, to the football field, to the basketball court, wherever it is you're going. SeatGeek can get you the perfect seats. Go to SeatGeek.com, enter the code BellyUpSports at checkout. You're going to get $20 off your very first purchase. All right, so we're talking about buy low prospects. We got a number of top-tier baseball players that have started the season very, very slow. And so we're talking last week, especially after the program last week, about this idea of guys we think that maybe would be a good time to go after to try to acquire in your leagues, because we think they're going to turn it around and have a fantasy relevant rest of the year at some point or another. So let's kick things off, Kevin, with a buy low candidate for you.
Okay, so my first guy is someone who you and I were both high on coming into the season. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. We thought that he would target that and use that as motivation to get a better, deal coming up this fall. And of course, the guy I'm talking about is Alec Bregman, mm-hmm, of the Houston Astros. But as I looked into this, and as we talked a little bit earlier about, he is a notorious slow starter. And so last year, the first month of the season, he hit 201 with 4 homers, 16 RBIs. Now, you tell me if this sounds familiar, okay? Because in 30 games of this year, he's hitting even worse. It's 200 with 1 homer and 11 RBIs.
Yeah.
All right. So, but he finished the year with 25 homers, 90 RBIs. And when you look into this, he has been very unlucky this year. He has a 222 batting average with balls in play. Last year, it was 270, which is still kind of below the league average, but that's what he did. So You got to figure that's going to come up. The rest of his numbers are all right in line. He has a 12.3 strikeout rate. It was 12 a year ago. 10.8 base on balls. All right, percentage. It was 12.7 last year. And his hard hit rate is 34% last year at 38.2. So his numbers are all right there. He just needs to be, and Houston is looking a little better than the train wreck they were coming into, after the first 3 weeks or so. So he's going to heat up. And if you need a third baseman, he's the guy that would go right to the top of my list. Somebody might be, itchy with the trigger finger and panicking a little bit. So I would go and see what I could do to get him if I need a third baseman.
Yeah, he's number one on my list too, Kev. I told you before we came on air, he became available in my Yahoo League in the waivers. I picked him up on waivers and was
ecstatic. Can I sign up for that league right there? Can I do that?
Right. Ecstatic about that. I think Bregman, listen, he is not only him, Houston as a whole has been really, really bad. And there's only been a couple fantasy relevant guys on the team right now. But I think the pitchers and I think the offensive guys, the batters that have yet to get going, I still think they're going to find a way to get things rolling at some point this season. And I mean, you mentioned it. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He has to start playing better. And yeah. And so I think Bregman is a prime candidate right now. I think that he's a guy that owners are willing to part with if you can get him the right offer. Maybe even packaging two guys that are less owned but outperforming Bregman. Packaging two of those guys together and throwing them at somebody to try to get Bregman, and maybe the owner sits there and goes, wow, you know, I can trade my 40, whatever it is, 49 points this season for two guys that are already at 60 each. So that's 120 points. And so I'm winning on this one. Whereas, you know, I still think Bregman at the end of the year is going to be doing fine. That being said, third base is a pretty hot spot right now in fantasy. There's a number of third basemen that are scoring well, and there's a number of guys with third base eligibility. So if he trades away Bregman, there's guys you can pick up and fill in. I think that's another thing that can give you that that incentive to let go of Bregman. And so I think Bregman to me is the number one guy on my list. Hey, I'm going after him and see if I can acquire him for something that doesn't obviously hurt me either.
I'm right there with you, and I would usually try and maybe package a pitcher.
Yeah.
Somebody like that I don't like to trade a position for a position, because why are you doing that? But if you can, as you said, if you could trade maybe an outfielder, maybe a second baseman, pitcher, something like that, and get him, you're in good shape, I think.
Yeah, so I sent some offers to someone in our league that has Bregman, and I packaged a player on his favorite team,
helps.
And someone else along with it. I think it was a pitcher as well. I think I sent three different offers for Bregman, and I just kind of put a few different things together just to see if we can get him to bite on anything there. My next guy on the list is Corbin Carroll. He is young. He's one of these guys, but I don't know that he's been around long enough for people in every fantasy league to realize I really need to hang on to this guy. So I think now's the time to take a swipe at Corbin Carroll. He's batting 194. He's got one home run, only five RBIs on the year. He does have eight stolen bases, only 45 fantasy points coming into the day. I own Corbin Carroll in some leagues. I'm not letting him go. That being said, I think you can throw the right thing at somebody, maybe an older pitcher that's probably going to get hurt again. Maybe a pitcher you don't believe in. Maybe you got Cole sitting there on the IL and you're willing to say, you know what, if he does come back, who's to say he's going to pitch more than three games? So maybe you're willing to throw somebody like that at him as well. To me, Corbin Carroll is an offensive player that eventually is going to find his groove. And I think he's someone we could take a swing at right now. And you're going to have to give up a little bit more than what you'd have to give up to get Bregman, I think. But I think that he's worth taking a swing at.
I almost included him, but because I was looking at this, and because he's had hits, let's see, hits in his five of his last six games. So if you're going to make a move on him, you need to do it immediately. He's heating up already. So I did not include him, but I could see how you could make, you know, he doesn't have a track record. He was the rookie of the year, obviously, last year. But somebody might be, you know, all these pitchers that we're going to talk about a little bit later that are injured, and he might need some help there. Mm-hmm. So it might be worth it to try and pry him away.
Yeah, I think it too depends on your league. Look at your playoffs, figure out how many teams make the playoffs. If it's like our league where there's only four teams make the playoffs, then if you got someone that's at the bottom of the standings that has Corbin Carroll on their team, they need points. So they might be more willing to trade him than someone who's at the top of the league that's like, well, why do I need to let him go right now? It's not hurting me. So I think that's, it's going to be league dependent on who's willing to let go of Corbin Carroll and who's willing to hang on to him as well. So, all right, who else you got?
So if you talk about third base as a hot position. So the other guy that I have is the one that in our league, we're comparing him to my chagrin, Adley Rutschman. And of course that's Austin Riley. And we're talking way cold, and you know, he's in the Atlanta lineup, but he only has 3 homers, 18 RBIs, and his numbers are down. He only has a 312 on base percentage. That's not good, but it was 345 a year ago. His batting average and balls in play are 311 to 324, so that's right there. His strikeout percentage is right there. His walk percentage is right there. And his hard hit rate is right there. So he just needs to have an adjustment a little bit in his luck, I guess you could say, because all of his numbers are pretty much right there where he usually is, except for the important ones where it's 3 homers and 18 RBIs, but he had 37 a year ago. And so, like I said, to my chagrin, but if, and I'm not looking to trade him off my team, but somebody might be willing to do so. And if you can't get Bregman, Austin Riley is another place. If I need a third baseman, I'm going to turn to, because his owner might be saying, I'm done with this. So someone make me an offer. And if that's the case, do it.
I was going to say, I immediately pulled up your roster. I was like, looking at my roster, I was like, oh, hang on a sec now. Maybe I need to send you the offers I sent for Bregman, although he's outscoring Bregman at the moment for sure.
That's not saying a whole lot. So.
Let's stick with Atlanta. Matt Olson, first baseman, 3 home runs, 16 RBIs. He's batting 195. He has 55 fantasy points, so he's being outscored by Austin Riley right now. He's slightly outscoring Court Carroll and Bregman. But again, it's the guy we came in. He was top tier first baseman, kind of like Acuna. Honestly, the Atlanta Braves are struggling fantasy wise. But Matt Olson, if you need a first baseman, again, he's a veteran. He's been around. It's going to come back around for him. And now's the time to go after him. He's not going to get more affordable, I don't think, than he is right now. And so if you're really weak at first base, you might go take a swing at Olson. Maybe you're strong elsewhere. Maybe you got some outfielders that you picked up on the waiver wire and they're outperforming some of the guys you drafted. And maybe you're willing to make a run and make a trade for. Maybe you're willing to offer a Corbin Carroll for a Matt Olson. Maybe you're willing to get a trade where you're offering Bregman for Olson. You guys are kind of swapping guys that haven't been great. I don't know what you had to pay to get Matt Olson right now, but I think again, he's got more RBIs than the guys we've mentioned so far, but he's only got the 3 home runs. He's batting 195. It hasn't been pretty, as it hasn't been for really any Brave. But I still believe in Matt Olson. And if you can get him for the right price, I think that's one you can buy low on right now.
And I agree with that. And my last position player plays for the local Texas Rangers. All right. And he finished 2nd in the AL MVP voting a year ago. Uh-huh. Of course, I'm talking about Corey Seager.
Yep.
And he came into the season. We all knew that he, you know, had surgery and didn't have any training camp and all that stuff. But nobody could see that he had 2 homers and 9 RBI.
Yeah.
While hitting .228, a .307 on base percentage. I'm pretty sure maybe you or I could probably put together 307 on base percentage. But
I don't know about that.
I don't know about all that, but it has not been good. But when you look at this, because he hit 33 homers and 96 RBIs and only 119 games a year ago, 390 on base percentage. So it's going to turn around. A 1.013 OPS shows what kind of player he is capable. We know this. He's a two-time World Series MVP. And so he might be turning it around. Coming in today, he had three hits in his last two games, so he might be turning it around. So if you're interested and you need a shortstop, you might want to go ahead and seek what you can find with him before he starts to get going. Because we're in May, so he might get it turned around real quick. And if he does do that, then there's zero chance you're going to get him. I'm big on Corey Seager. Of course, he played for the Dodgers, so that helps me a little bit there. But you got to believe in him. I would believe in him, and I would try almost anything to get him on my team.
Would you rather have Seager or Riley?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm thinking, because as you said, there are third basemen that can be had. I'm thinking I'd rather have Seager, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, I just sent you the trade offer.
Okay. Riley. See how this works, folks? See what kind of shenanigans that we can pull on live TV? All right. So
as soon as you said Seager, I was like, you know, I was thinking about throwing Seager in some trade offers here recently. Okay. All right. You don't have to decide right now on air, but it's there. The offer's been set. It's available.
Okay. As you mentioned a little bit ago, you have a player who's struggling. You have a player who's struggling. Mm-hmm. This guy, you'd rather have his position than this guy. Make the switch.
Yeah.
Then maybe both of you will wind up happy, or maybe you'll both be, you know, crying in your cereal in the morning. But either way, you know, you're doing something to improve your team, and that is the basis for trying anything, whether it's trades or waiver or whatever it is. Improve your team. That's the bottom line.
I agree. All right, let's get into pitchers. Who do you got for the pitchers you say let's go after them?
Okay, so a couple of pitchers, and these first two guys are also on my team. So maybe we can work out something while we're sitting here as well. And the first guy I'm going to talk about, we talked about how Tampa is pretty much in the dumpster fire this year, but Zach Eflin goes to the top of my list. Okay, he's given up 8 earned runs in his last two. He needs a life preserver, and he's 1-4 on the year, but his ERA is 4.17. That's not awful in today's standards. His FIP, fielding independent pitching, is 3.66, so it's lower than his actual. So he's not performing what you would expect out of him, which he's got no control over that. And you look at this, his 21% strikeout rate is right there with his career, so he's doing that. 2.3 base on balls percentage, good. 5.1 is his baseball per nine, you know, percentage. So he's walking a lot less guys than he does usually in his career. So he's not wild. He's pitching as well as he can. And Tampa, they're in the dumpster. I think they're going to play better, not to the point where, you know, they've been in the past, but they won't be as bad. And I think that the park he pitches in, even though it's also a dumpster fire, is pretty good for pitchers. So if you're needing pitching, Eflin might be the guy to look for.
Yeah, he's had a decent start. Not horrible, of course, and he's got some points on him too. I'd see him more as a sell than a buy. I don't know. Tampa pitchers scare me right now. In the past, they've been actually great values. They scare me a lot right now. But you know, it is what it is. And again, he's got more points than a lot of guys. So you might be able to improve your pitching staff for sure, especially with all the injuries that we got going on right now.
Absolutely.
I've only got one pitcher, and it's a relief pitcher, Kevin.
Okay.
And it's the one and only Josh Hader. We talked about Houston. They have been horrendous to start off this year. Hader's record is 1-2
today.
Yeah, 1-2 with only 3 saves, 23 strikeouts. His ERA currently is 5.93. K, Kevin, if I had to pick a team that I think from today moving forward will be dramatically better than what they have been to this point, it's got to be Houston. I mean, at some point, these veterans are going to get things rolling. I think you go look at their pitching staff, and right now you pluck them off the waiver wire, maybe not today, but in the next 2 weeks, start plucking those guys off the waiver wire because everybody's tired and fed up with how bad they've been. They sent one guy down to the minors. So, you know, I think Houston's a team that will start to improve. And when they do, these pitchers are going to pay off because they're going to be the ones that are the reason why they're improving. So I would not trade anything good for Josh Hader, but I'd be looking on the waiver wire for him in some places, but I would be looking to trade a relief pitcher that has been mediocre, but better than Josh Hader to start the year. Cause I really think that's going to come back around to help you later on down the road.
Okay. So in keeping with our Houston discussion, okay, the player that I'm going to talk about right now, Framber Valdez.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was hurt earlier in the season and he's 1-1 with 3.97 ERA. His FIP is right there, 3.94. So he's pitching right about what you would expect out of him. So there's no mysterious forces at work here. So, and 3.97, as we mentioned, is not terrible. You expect better out of him. But last year, he had a 3.45 ERA and a 3.50 FIP. So he pitches right there what you expect of him. So you would expect that ERA to come down a little bit. And as we talked about, you expect Houston to be better. And so somebody might be, this guy might be scared because of his injury that he had earlier in the year. I don't think that's a huge concern. So if you can make an offer and get Framber Valdez on your team right now before he gets rolling, that would be a huge plus for your team.
I like it. I like it. Anybody else you got?
Let me just say, not too sure about this guy, but Mitch Keller, also on my team, has a 5.18 ERA, but his FIP is 4.17. So he's got some mysterious forces going on with him that he's not pitching to what you would expect of him. You got to come to the mean. So, and Pittsburgh is not going to be good, but you don't need them to be good because we're talking about a pitcher. You see six innings out of this guy, and he's capable of doing that. So if you're looking for a pitcher who's a little bit below, you know, not one of the top guys, Mitch Keller might be someone you might want to look.
I like it. All right, that's our Fantasy Burner presented by SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code BellyUpSports to get $20 off your purchase. Up next, it's the Call to the Pin. Our Call to the Pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Join the flavor revolution at RighteousFelon.com. Use the code STOVE15, STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. Kevin, the Atlanta Braves have fallen to second place in the NL East for like the first time in, I don't know, 700 days or something like that. It seems like they've been on top for quite some time. I think the Marlins maybe started the year on top, but Phillies have overtaken them. Are the Phillies finally what we thought the Phillies could be the last couple of years?
They are, and you know, the Phillies, it's getting like I'm beating an old drum here, but every year they start to turn it around. They're turning it on a little bit earlier than they have in the last couple of years, but Philly is they're a serious team. They got a serious offense, although Trey Turner being lost, it does not help their case. But everywhere else you look, pitching wise, offense, they're doing great. And I just like to point out that my Dodgers were the ones that really accelerated Atlanta Braves funk. So Phillies fans, and I know we got at least two of them in our league, you're welcome.
Kevin was such a vital part of that run, for sure. The Phillies have looked good again. They've had the roster built for two years now, and they've made good postseason runs, but the regular season has been ugly. Well, they finally look like maybe they figured it out here in the regular season. Who's the worst team in Major League Baseball right now? I give you some options. The Astros, okay. The Angels, the White Sox, the Rockies, and the Marlins.
It's a battle to the depths between, I'd say right now, the Rockies and the Marlins. And unfortunately for both of them, they're in good division. So they might, and the Marlins have already sent up their white flag. It's right. Flying high in Miami right now. So yeah, Miami, it's not going to be a pretty scene. There's only 8 people in their stadium to watch the games to begin with. So no one's going to see the collapse and, you know, the funeral for them anyway. So Miami's my answer.
I mean, if they didn't start out, what did they start off, 7-0 or something like that?
It was good. And then.
And now they're 10-26. So it hasn't been good. They feel like the worst team. The Rockies might be. They're just being a little quieter on how bad they are because they've been bad for a while now. And the White Sox very well could be too. Every now and then the White Sox pull off a win that's just like, whoa, the White Sox won. Which kind of gives you a little boost on them. But the reality is Chicago and Colorado are not very good programs right now.
And you could talk about the White Sox because last weekend they beat Tampa, which we just talked about. And they're coming off a weekend series with St. Louis. And so that's not looking good. St. Louis is not looking good. So we could talk about them as well. But
The Marlins lost 20-4 today against the Athletics.
Yeah, that was yesterday, actually.
Yesterday, sorry. Yes, yeah. Yesterday.
Which Nathan, he's watching. Nathan, he exploded all over the place. And they, what about my Oakland A's? And so we got to give a shout out, Oakland A's, Nate. There you go.
The Oakland /Sacramento/ Las Vegas Athletics. 21 hits, 20 runs. That's a pretty good number there as well. Yeah. For the A's. The A's look respectable. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they look respectable this year, which they did not look that way last year. So that is definitely good there as well. Let's talk about the news, though, of the week. And the Padres made a deal for Luis Arraez and bring him in to a already pretty strong lineup and strong roster. Obviously, they have not performed the way they want to perform. So they go out and make this move. You said it, Miami's throwing up the white flag, but what does this mean for San Diego? Does this help them enough to start turning things around?
Well, my first thought was, okay, so he's the second baseman. So who's losing playing time? And is it Kim? Is it Bogarts? Who is it? Well, apparently neither.
Right.
Because he's going to be the designated hitter and Arraez is not your average DH because he's not hitting the ball out of the ballpark. But I think he's going to fit in well there. He had 4 hits yesterday. So, hey, here I am. Let's do this. And
they've plugged a leadoff role.
They had a huge, huge problem with in their leadoff spot. And he's going to hit 330 or so and get on base.
At their lineup, it looks incredibly strong. You got Arraez at leadoff. You got Tatis in right field. Cronenworth, who's had a really good start to his season at first. Machado at third. Profar in left. Bogarts at second. Merrill in center. Capusano at catcher. Ha-Seong Kim at shortstop. And that's your 9 going in your lineup here coming into it. And, there's not a lot of weakness. There shouldn't be, on paper at least, a lot of weakness. Now, Merrill hasn't been great as of late, and Capusano cooled off a little bit. But still, Tatis is still really good. Machado's, average to above average. Cronenworth and Profar have been good for who they are this year, too. So I like the addition by San Diego. I really do.
I do as well. And they're seeing because the Dodgers are starting to, do some things.
Right.
And they got to say to themselves, you know what? If we don't stay and we don't keep up with them, they're going to be 10 games in front of us by June.
Yeah.
So this might help with that. And they didn't have to – all the pitch players that they traded to the Marlins, I never heard of a single one of them. So there's no loss there.
Right.
Okay. And there's no loss to their team. No, you know, maybe might they're deaf a little bit in their minor league system. But other than that, it's a trade that works well for the Padres.
Yeah. Right now, the Padres are a half a game out from the Nationals for the wild card spot. And I know we have a long way to go, but I think the Padres are looking at this going, listen, we don't even have to catch the Dodgers, but we have to stay afloat with the Brewers and the Cubs. No. Kind of in that range for wild card spots. And, you know, the Braves and the Phillies right now are neck and neck up there at over 600. The Cubs and the Brewers are at 600. And so it's just a matter of hanging in that wild card race and not letting any of that get kind of run away from you at this point, even though it's so early in the season. That's kind of what you're keeping track on. I don't think you care about the division as much as you just got to make it.
We've seen that. 2 years ago, because the Padres made as a wild card, and then all of a sudden they were in the NL Championship Series.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, I think that if they were going to make a move, now's, you know, don't wait till June or July. This is a move right here that they made, and it helped their leadoff position, as you mentioned, it helps their offense. So, and they didn't, like I said, they had to give up none of their pitching depth or any of that. So, good trade on the Padres, although I don't want to have to say that, you know, seeing as how I'm a fan of who I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. All right, let's take a look at our council curse tracker this week. All right, so each week we take a look at the Chicago Cubs and how Craig Council's backstabbing of Milwaukee as a whole. They did win today, 5-0, the Cubs did. Today. And it's been an interesting series between Chicago and Milwaukee this week, and fun to keep track of. Here's what I got for the council curse this week. Let's look at some numbers. Last year to this year, the offense has dipped for Chicago. Their average batting average last year was 254. They're currently at 236. Their average OBP last year was 330. They're currently at 315. Their OPS last year, 751. They're currently at 705. So their batting numbers are down. We've seen that with the numbers that we've looked at from Bellinger, even Morel. There's been Swanson to a degree. There's been different guys that have dipped down. And we've got to just assume it's because of Craig Council that's the reason why that has happened. Their pitching numbers are nearly identical. Their ERA is slightly lower than it was last year. But their whip and their Ks per nine are all pretty much similar there as well. Kevin, anything to add to the council curse this week?
Well, it seems like maybe some of this council curse might be losing a little steam because they had a chance, you know, your Brewers.
Yeah.
Okay. And I thought on Friday was an interesting game.
Yes.
Because there the Brewers were getting shut out in, what, the first seven innings.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, three runs come around to score. And then Cubs lose.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, okay, here comes the curse. Then they won yesterday, the Cubs, and then they won today. So, and then Justin Steele, as we talked about pre-game, is coming. He's going to pitch tomorrow against the Padres, no less. So you'll be able to see how Luis Arraez does against him tomorrow. Yeah. So.
Listen, Saturday, the Cubs had home cooking from the umpire. It was 5-4, and Wilson struck out the batter, but they called it a ball. And next thing you know, it's 6-4. Brewers lose 6-5.
You could never do that to a Wilson on top of it all.
Right. How dare you screw over a Wilson? Wilson! Okay, that's all I got for this segment. We could talk about some more things, but I want to get us into the...
Okay, so just got to throw in Mike Trout. We can't end this at, you know, without mentioning him because he's on the IL once again. And if you're shocked by this, you're not paying any attention. And
I'm happy for him. I think he's happier being on the IL than he does playing.
Probably in the dugout, yeah, because he hit 10 home runs and what the Angels have, what, 15, I don't know how many home runs they have, but it's looking really, really, really dreary for the Angels. And so I feel, you feel about when it comes to Mike Trout, I feel bad for him because he's one of the top players that have ever put on the baseball uniform. But the last few years have just been tough.
As much as I can feel bad for someone who gets paid as much as he does.
Right. Yes, that's kind of, that definitely, softens the landing a little bit.
It should. I hope it does.
Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. But when we look back on his career, it's going to be a career of just missed opportunities and no one's seen him in the playoffs. And,
you're right.
It's just too bad.
His legacy has become, he played with Shohei Ohtani. And he's much better than that, but that's his legacy at this
point. Is. His first 7 years, he was top four in the AL MVP every single year.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of player that he is, but that's not what we're going to remember him for.
Agreed. All right. That's our call to the pin. It's presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. Go to righteousfelon.com. Use the code STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase. It's time to talk waiver wire in our fantasy focus. Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy articles, fantasy baseball, fantasy football, fantasy basketball, and anything else you can imagine. And it's also where you find all of Kevin Wilson's articles, BellyUpFantasySports.com. We're talking additions and subtractions this week. I'm going to start with the drops because I really struggled to find ones that I thought were worth bringing on the show today. So I've only got one. I think you've got a couple. So we'll start with you on the drops.
Okay. So I didn't struggle so much on the offensive end of this. The pitchers, you really don't want to be dropping a whole lot of pitchers because your star tomorrow is probably going to be on the IL.
Right.
But but as far as offensive players, the first drop is unfortunate for me because that's James Outman of my Los Angeles Dodgers, who 165, that's bad enough. Okay. Two homers, eight RBIs, but he had four at bats this week, and that's all. Okay. Of which he had no hits.
Wow.
So no hits in a week means you got to go to the back of the line. So way in the back. All right. And so maybe you don't even get to get in the car. The car leaves you at the curb. So
walk home.
Yeah, walk home, James Outman, because he's not even getting to the plate to get outs at this point in time. So as the outfielder's got to be, when we get to the ads, there's got to be an outfielder that you can put on your team that's got more than four at-bats in a single week.
I agree. You mentioned these injuries. So I've got one league that I'm in. Four pitchers on the IL, and I'm not willing to, I'll probably end up dropping Evan Phillips, the relief pitcher from the Dodgers that just went on the IL 15. I've also got Garrett Cole, Grayson Rodriguez, and Brian Bello. I can't let those guys go. And so I'm sitting here with slots being taken up by injured pitchers, but I just can't drop them at this point. I also got Yelich, who's on the IL still too. So, that league, I'm holding on for dear life right now, trying to figure out how to survive it when it's all said and done. My drop for this week is a relief pitcher as well, Adbert Alzolay from the Cubs. He is owned still in 46.9% of leagues. He's got three negative outings in his last five. The Cubs have moved on from him as the closer. He might still get some setup opportunities, some save. Hold opportunities, but he's just not the guy right now. There's a lot of other guys out there doing well, and I don't understand why 46% of teams are still owning Adbert Alzolay.
Okay, so you know who's coming in through door number two for me is also a Dodger, which is surprising because the Dodgers are on fire.
Yeah.
But the player that's not on fire is Daniel Hudson, relief pitcher, Dodgers, okay? Yeah. All right, so his last five appearances, okay, runs in three of his last four. He's got negative three and negative six fantasy points. It's got two strikeouts in his last five appearances. That's what I was going to mention right there. He's not striking anybody out, and it's just not working out. And we want to have Dodgers on our team, but Daniel Hudson, unfortunately, is not it.
Okay. Anybody else for the drops?
Okay. So one guy that's at almost 50% rostered, and that's Spencer Torkelson. The Detroit Tigers, unfortunately for him, 205, zero home runs, 11 RBIs. Okay. He had one game where he had two runs and an RBI. The rest of the week, nada. Absolutely nada. He came to the table, but there was no food, no plate, no drink, no cup, nothing on the table. So he had to go and just turn around and walk away. And that's what you need to do with him. He's at almost 50% rostered, as I mentioned. But it's not working out for him. First base, look for a first. We talked about making some trades or whatever. Get a first baseman that's better than Spencer Torkelson.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Tigers, as Denny Green would say, they are who we thought they were. They're in fourth place in the division. They've fallen behind the Royals and the Twins. They're still above 500, which is better than anybody in the NL West other than the Dodgers. But that being said, I don't trust the Tigers as far as I can throw them. I got some guys at the beginning of the year that I liked there. And I keep an eye on Vierling, those kinds of guys. But, man, those kinds of teams, if you got guys that aren't performing, you just can't hold on to them because they don't have the support around them to pick them back up again. And, yeah, I like that cut of Spencer Torkelson.
So one last guy. Because I praised him last week, saying that he might be the best two-start pitcher of the week. Okay? This is what you got out of him. So you can disregard that from last week. I didn't say it, okay? Maybe I was, had a concussion. I don't know. But I'm talking about Bailey Falter.
Yeah.
Two starts, positive starts all the way around. 9 innings, 8 runs, 11 hits. 7 strikeouts, 9 fantasy points for the 2 starts. Not getting it done. And Saturday, he has only 1 start this week, and it's not till Saturday, and that's against the Cubs. And so there's no reason for Bailey Falter to be on anybody's roster. And like I said, just think that you heard it, me say that in a dream or something, and today wake up to reality. He doesn't need to be on your roster, so send him to the waiver.
Very good. All right, let's talk about who we need to add, though, this week, Kevin. And okay. I'll start us off here today with the Oakland A's. Now, you got to understand, there's a lot of Oakland A's that have good numbers from this past week. They played some really bad teams this week, so you got to be aware of that. That being said, you got to look further than just this week. And Tyler Nevin, third base, outfield eligible, only owned in 7.5% of leagues. He's hitting over 300 on the season, hit 302 this last week. It's 302 on the season. He had like 336 or something this week. He's got, 3 home runs as well. He gives you that eligibility with third base and outfield. And, the A's again are being respectable. They're not going to blow your socks off, but they've got some guys scoring some points. I look through all the A's players. I like Nevin the best long-term, or by long-term, I mean for the next month. More than I like the other guys. And there are several guys who scored well here recently from Oakland, but I'm going to go with Tyler Nevin this week out of Oakland.
Okay. So my top guy happens to also be an Oakland A, and he's even less rostered than the guy you just mentioned. And that's Abraham Toro. Okay. First base, second base, third base. So that's his first calling card. All right. And so he's at 3.4% rostered. And what his season average is, none of that, it matters at all. But he's coming into today with 4 straight two-hit games, okay? 4 RBIs, 7 runs this week. He has 5 straight games with runs scored, 29 fantasy points this week. So, what is that?
Shota is GOAT.
Okay, good. Okay. So, anyway. Not sure what we're supposed to say to that, but okay. So back to my original point, Toro, he's got the eligibility that I like. And this week, because I'm not talking about long range or any of that, but he's got the Texas Rangers coming in to there. And the Texas Rangers have had some pitching issues. They've had injuries of their own. So I think that the Oakland A's can continue their offensive onslaught this week. And so Abraham Toro would be a player that I would target highly.
I like it. Craig, we're going to come back to your question. I appreciate you asking and wording it that way does help us to converse about it. So we're going to come back to it and give us just a second and we'll come back to that. I've been in desperate need of a second base in some leagues. And so I went out and found me one. He's only owned in 0.8% of leagues. That's right. 0.8% of leagues. But he's the starting everyday second baseman now in Kansas City, Michael Massey. He's only got four home runs on the season. Two of them came this past week. He's batting .429, seven RBIs with that as well. He started off the year hurt and so therefore slow, but he has now overtaken the everyday job at second base in Kansas City. And man, I like those Kansas City infielders this year. But Massey's the latest one. I added him today in our league because I have been desperate for second base help. And so I bring Massey in, and he looks like he's going to be there for the rest of the season too.
Gotta like that. So I talked about the Texas Rangers a moment ago. And so the player I'm going to go to with next, this switched off on me, okay, is going to be Nathaniel Lowe.
Yeah.
Okay. First baseman for the Rangers. He started off the season. He was on the IL, and he's played some games now. He's hitting .333. Oh, here it is, 24% rostered. So he may not be available all the way, you know, throughout the land. But if he is in need first base help that we just talked about a moment ago, drop Spencer Torkelson, add Nathaniel Lowe this week.
Yeah.
Okay. So, 4-for-6, 2 runs, 2 RBIs. That's what he did. He's got 5 two-or-more hit games since he's come off the IL. And so, as I mentioned, if first base is an issue, then he's a guy who, and he's a left-handed hitter, and so he'll face a lot of right-handed pitching. So Nathaniel Lowe is a first baseman I would look to if I had Spencer Torkelson on my team. Switch them out and make yourself a better team.
Yeah, I was going to put him on my list. For some reason, I was thinking you brought him up last week, so I didn't put him on my list. 100%, he should be rostered right now at first base for sure. I'm going to go to the pitchers now. I know we've talked about this guy. I think we talked about this guy recently, but 19.5% owned pitcher for Chicago, Jameson Taillon, 1.13 ERA, 3-0 with 2 quality starts. There's no reason why a starting pitcher at 1.13 ERA that's 3-0 on the season should only be 19% rostered in fantasy baseball. So he is available in a lot of leagues right now. And with all these injuries that we got going on right now, Jameson Taillon's one that you can definitely add to your roster.
I like that. And he's a guy I had on my team. And fortunately, not anymore. Then he went out and just blew the doors off, you know, so he's a guy you definitely want to target. And I'm going back to the Oakland A's. Well, and I did talk about him last week, and that's J.P. Sears.
Yeah.
All right. Unfortunately for him, he gave up 7 runs to Baltimore. So not good on the 27th of April. But other 4 starts surrounding that, he gave up 1 earned run total. Okay, so – and he's at 7.5% rostered, so you can get to your waiver wire right now, and he's almost assuredly going to be there. So get him on your team, and he's pitching the 6th inning and 5 of his last 6 starts, including when he gave up 7 runs. So Oakland, if he, you know, starts to falter a little bit, you might want to get him out of the game before he gives up 7 runs. But that's just a little bit of advice for you right there. But J.P. Sears, more often than not, has been a quality pitcher every time he's gone out there. And as I mentioned, he's available for the most part, so go and get him.
All right, last guy I've got is Baltimore Orioles pitcher John Means, 11.7% owned, back from injury. He's only pitched 1 game. It was against Cincinnati this past week. 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 0 walks, a win, and a 0.00 ERA to go with it. John Means is on a good team. He's got some support offensively. And again, 11.7% own. He means he's available more than likely in your league. And he is worth going and getting again with all these injuries that got going on at pitcher. He's somebody got to look at.
Okay. So the last guy I have also on a good team, and that's Lewis Gill of the New York Yankees. He's at 12.5% rostered. Okay. And gave up five runs on the 26th of April, but his other two starts, no runs on just four hits. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, he's got Houston coming in to play them. Houston, as we talked about them, but they're not all the way back as of yet. So I like that, a start for him on Tuesday. So, and he's available. So if you need a pitcher, Lewis Gill might be the guy you need to look at.
Okay. So Craig was commenting. He's the one that commented Shota is GOAT. He asked the question, best pitcher so far. He says in Yahoo leagues, he's only 74% owned. Like what? That's why Yahoo is not worth it, in my opinion. But if he's available, pick him up. No doubt about that.
You definitely need to fire that up right now. Okay. And I played just Yahoo just once. Mm. Okay. But it seems to me that, generally speaking, Yahoo players are more universally on rosters than ESPN.
Yeah.
Except for this case. This I don't understand at all. And so if he's not the GOAT so far this year, you can certainly make an argument that he is. Then Tyler Glasnow is right there on his heels.
So ESPN scoring, Glasnow, Ranger Suarez, Logan Gilbert, Dylan Cease, Tarek Skubal are all ahead of Shota in points wise, but he's really close with Skubal and Cease. Gilbert, Suarez, and Glasnow are the guys running away with it at the moment. That being said, he's above guys like Zach Wheeler, Corbin Burns, even Jared Jones, who's been hot, and outscoring Shohei, who's only hitting, of course, this year. But that's good to see as well. He's definitely a very good pitcher. And again, if he's available in your league, why haven't you picked him up yet? But I will put this out there too, because he mentions this, which is a good, I don't remember if we've mentioned him in the past or not, but he talks about Assad. And so you have him, he was scoring really well. He is rostered in our league, but he is available. He's only owned in 38% of leagues on ESPN. And he's Javier Assad, and he has been really, really solid as well. So, I mean, I think that's a good one. I like that one as a pickup. He's been scoring really, really well as of late also. So
yeah, just don't be disappointed when you go to the waiver wire and find out he is, in fact, not there. Because at 38%, right. That seems really low to me for him.
And yeah, so, he's scored 21 against Milwaukee today, 10 against the Mets on his last start, 16 against Houston, 10 against Miami, 21 against Seattle, 14 against San Diego, and 23 against Colorado. That's his season so far. 1.97 ERA, 27 strikeouts. Javier Assad would be a great pickup if he's available in your league. And by the way, I got to say this, Kevin, because I'm going to get an earful this week. My dad owns him. My dad has him on his team. Good job, Dad. You're smarter than all of us.
That's right.
I'm proud of you.
We praised you last week, Dale. So we're going right back to it again. So you can sit, be pretty happy with yourself this week.
Yeah. Anytime we talk about someone you should pick up, and Dad's got them, Dad lets me know, hey, I already had them.
I think there was somebody that I talked about, maybe it was last week, and then before the show even died, your dad was in there picking him up. So, he watches. We appreciate that, of course. And, he's pretty astute and doesn't allow any of us to be able to, follow our own advice.
Yeah.
Which is a, smart play. So
he still hasn't given us a 5-star review, but
Come on, Dale. What's really happening here? 5-star review. Thumbs up. Okay. And
correction though from earlier, Craig was talking about Tyon is 74% owned, not Shota. Shota is 96% owned in fantasy.
Okay.
There's a little bit of delay on the comments from what we're talking about. So that's what that is. So just to clarify, so if people are looking at it going, Craig doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, he does. He was just, we were talking about different things. So, so there's that as well. All right, Kevin, tell us about this week. What's going on this week?
Okay. So I switched a little bit from my usual fantasy baseball article. And I put out an article which I tout my number one rookie running back coming into this season. And it's getting some responses. And so you might want to get over there and check it out. And a lot of people are telling me the player I picked is not the top player. So, you know, if you get a chance, go over there and tell me what you think of what I had to say. And so it's there on the Belly Up Fantasy website right now. And also on Tuesday, Nate and I will be having another episode of Pigging Out, of which he informed me that we will be talking about the Oakland A's in that particular episode. All right. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be looking at the NBA playoffs. First round is in the book. Second round is getting underway. So we'll be looking at that. We'll be talking about baseball, of course. We'll be talking about his A's, my Dodgers, and players that, you know, we talked about additions. We'll be talking a little bit about that. We'll be talking about some football. And we'll be talking about who do we have at the top of our quarterbacks list, our top five quarterbacks of the year going at this point. So, and OBJ to Miami, does that have any fantasy significance at all? We'll wait to talk about that on Tuesday. But so there's all that to look forward to. So Tuesday at 6 Central, 7 where time begins in the East. Okay. So you definitely want to get over there. And I don't know if you've seen some of them clips that Nate be throwing out. Yeah. Of us discussing and one of the clips we talked about who should be the number one pick in rookie fantasy drafts. If you haven't had a chance to watch that, it's pretty hilarious. And so you definitely want to check out some of those clips. They're really interesting. And of course I'm on it, but I'm even laughing while I'm looking at it. So you definitely want to check those out.
All right. And Kevin, I'm giving you homework for an article because I don't want to do it. So, but prospects that are worth adding. So you got some guys that are getting ready to get called up here in the next couple of weeks, probably. So maybe either those specific products that you should go ahead and add, or maybe something around the strategy aspect of when do you add a prospect or what should you be looking for to be the first one to grab those prospects, something in that range there. So, because, you know, I've already got Paul Skeens. I've already got Tampa's shortstop that's coming up soon as well. And I was all in on Jackson Holliday from the draft. So, you know, I like prospects. I just don't have the time to write an article on them. So I'm giving that over to you, Kevin. And I'm sure in all your free time, you'll find time to do it.
I'll see what I can do. I'll kick that around a little bit and see what I can come up with.
All right. Follow Kevin on Twitter at Kevin62 WILSEA. Again, bellyupfantasysports.com is where its articles are. And the Belly Up YouTube page is where you can find Pigging Out every Tuesday as well. This week I've got, I don't even know what I got this week. Wednesday night, me and Dad will be live. We'll be talking at 8 o'clock Wednesday night, talking sports, baseball, maybe a little bit NBA as well. Some NASCAR, we'll be talking about that as well. So tune in Wednesday night. I do not believe I have a show tomorrow because as I'm saying this, I realized I never sent my interview requests for our guests. So hard to do it without the guests. So.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. But we had a great show last Monday. Had head coach Walt.
It was awesome. I saw that. It was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a good interview, and he always gives good stuff, but it was, I thought, extra good last week as well. So anyway, stuff going on there, of course, as well. Next Sunday, we'll be back. We'll be talking. It's Mother's Day next Sunday. So I'm sure we'll have a Mother's Day themed show and celebrating the mother of all home runs or something. I don't know yet. But we'll figure that out for next week. Tune in next week live here on Belly Up YouTube, Belly Up Fantasy Facebook, or the Sports Stove YouTube to catch that program as well. Check out our sponsors, bellyupfantasysports.com, righteousfelon.com for some jerky. You can use the code STOVE15 to get 15% off your purchase. SeatGeek.com, use the code BellyUpSports. You're going to get $20 off your purchase there as well. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Sports Stove. You can follow me there. He's Kevin Wilson. I'm Vince Stover. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
Have a great week.